Whatever the time, however unbearable the heat. I'm good at exams, but Tia is wrong. I didn't have it easy doing them, and I don't have it easy now. I'm broke here, on a scholarship that believes in enforcing virtue through austerity. The scholarship comes from the grandly named Farhana Abdullahi Endowment for Girls' Education, and is meant for Muslim girls. That didn't discourage Begum Tasneem Khan, who had her shrewd eyes trained on me through most of my final year at school, though I did not know it. One afternoon, I was summoned to the principal's office, and I went in filled with dread, but left clutching application forms. "Why don't you apply?" she had said. "No harm trying." The people who run the scholarship are connected to her through a network of feudal relationships, and I suppose her billowing magnificence ensured that they did not dare bring up the matter of my religion. Or they thought that my years in a Muslim school had made me a bit of this and a bit of that. One of the interviews involved a dinner with the grandees of the city, watching like prospective in-laws, my mother said, to see if I knew a fork from a knife and could make vivacious small talk and laugh, but not too loudly. She advised me to stick to food minus wings and legs so it wouldn't fly off my plate. When the day arrived, I could see Begum Tasneem on the other side of the dining table in the banquet hall, across a white battlefield glittering with silver and crystal. She was among many solemn people. She didn't look in my direction as the kind old butler whispered in my ear that I would be served each time from my left side, never the right. On his next foray, he murmured, "Sit straight, child. Take a napkin." I realised that the stiffly folded flowers standing at attention in the silver holders were meant for use. I stole glimpses at the others and tried to be ladylike, delicately dabbing my lips every now and then, and restrained myself from diving under the table in panic when the napkin slid from my knees to the floor. Once the blur of chandeliers, silks and silver had resolved themselves into particulars, I noticed a girl further down the table at the same instant that she puffed her cheeks, squinted her eyes, grinned at me, then put on her formal face again. We didn't exchange a word, but after that, the evening became easier. Weeks later, Begum Tasneem summoned me to her many-windowed office. I remember the blue glazed vase of spider lilies on her side table, the rows of group photographs on the wall, my hard beating heart. The morning light, filtered by gauzy curtains, was behind her, giving her an otherworldly glow, and the air was perfumed by the lilies. The day had arrived. It felt as if I had been transported to one of those folk tales where a god tells a bewildered human being, "Speak! What does your heart desire? It shall be yours." Begum Tasneem's voice seemed to come from somewhere near the lilies and was scented by them. I had been given a scholarship to a grand university in England. I would have to go at the end of September, and they would take care of the flight too. The curtains stopped swaying, and the light shimmered for a few seconds. Almost in the same breath, with an ironic smile, she said, "They won't let the scholarship go to your head, the endowment. They've measured out the money to make sure you come back educated, but also frugal, virtuous, grateful. A good girl." Then she dismissed me with a warily elegant motion, which was both a wave and a gesture toward the door. "If I know you, Sarayu," she said, "you won't let a little bit of poverty get in the way of a lot of enjoyment." Her green-blue eyes, usually watchful and impersonal, seemed amused, and maybe she was even smiling a little as she returned her gaze to the open file in front of her. Every part of the Farhana Abdullahi Endowment is parcelled out. The fees go straight to the university, dormitory bills are paid to the college, the rest must suffice for food and books and the occasional movie, and is remitted monthly by an aged Abdullahi who lives by the sea near Brighton. I have not met him, nor know how to reach him. Each time I cycle past the Japanese lanterns outside an enchanting restaurant on my route to lectures, or examine a notice board crowded with advertisements for concerts and plays, I want to tell him.